So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. Wisconsin Eye is inviting cabinet secretaries to Governor Tony Evers, who took office 1 month from tomorrow, to talk about their agencies, themselves, and their goals for their next 10 years. So I want to welcome Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary Mary Kolar. Welcome to Wisconsin Eye. Thank you very much for coming in.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. Let's talk about your background. Yes. You were in the Navy for...
I was in the Navy for 28 years.
28 years.
Correct.
Okay, and your specialty, what?
Mostly education and training and recruiting for more than the last 10 years. The commands that I had were either in recruiting and working with commands that did education and training.
28 years?
Yes.
You stayed there that long because why?
Because I love it. Until I began this job, I didn't imagine there was anything that could be as rewarding. But since I am at the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, I can't believe how energized and motivated and just honored to be a part of the department and the Governor Evers and Lieutenant Barnes administration.
Well, you were obviously approached and accepted.
Yes.
And did you tell Governor-elect, then Governor-elect Evers, if I'm there, these are my goals? I mean, just what can you talk about your discussion with the governor?
Yes, well, the interview with then-Governor-elect Evers and his chief of staff, Maggie Gao, was wonderful. I was able to talk about, like today, you're asking me my background. It's quite similar, answering what my goals are, my experience. For example, he asked how many people I was actually responsible for. When I was chief of staff, which is the second in charge, if you will, and often I was in charge for Naval Service Training Command, mm-hmm. we were responsible for everyone who joined the Navy and Navy JROTC, the programs that are in high schools, for everyone who joined the Navy and JROTC, except for the Naval Academy. So we had over 90,000 students located worldwide. We are responsible for Navy boot camp, Navy's only boot camp in Great Lakes, Illinois. We were responsible for the NROTC units. For example, there's one here in Madison at mm-hmm. UW-Madison and Marquette. And anyway, so we were responsible for all of those. It's about 33. We were responsible for what's now Officer Candidate School, which is a combined. In the past, there was Aviation Officer Candidate School and Officer Candidate. Those are combined in Newport, Rhode Island. Officer Indoctrination School. I can keep going. So explain that, yes, indeed, we had 90,000 people.
A job with major responsibility.
Yes. And so I seeing their faces, you know, being asked, well, you know, how many people were you actually responsible for? Well, quite a few.
After you retired, you were doing what?
Well, after my husband and I retired here in Madison, my goal was to walk to work. That was what my goal was. And I had the great pleasure of being able to walk two blocks to the Madison Museum of Contemporary Art, where I was basically responsible for security. My title was Director of Public Operations. I really enjoyed it. Earlier in my career, when I was a lieutenant and I worked for the commanding officer was a commander, he said the best pay grade is lieutenant because you have a lot of enough responsibility, but not too much. You know, you can still have a quality of life, I guess, and life balance. So being at MOCA was like being a lieutenant again. I had the frontline employees right there, most of whom were students. But what I'm most proud of at MOCA, wonderful to work with in the art world and be in that environment, but because of my position and the trust that Steve Fleshman and the rest of the people at MMOCA had, working with the VA, I was able to hire over my time there 6 formerly homeless veterans. Yes, and that's that to this day. I said, okay, what can top my Navy career? Seeing people who, for whatever reason, had a hiccup in their life, a challenge, and now, again, with the assistance and collaboration with the Veterans, Federal Veterans Administration, to have them employed and see them go on to even more duties and so forth. Not everyone made it. That's a part of now at DVA too. When you try to help someone, there's people who want to be helped, and then there's some that aren't quite ready. Right. So I had a few that I don't know what happened to them when they decided to leave, but the others who stayed or went on to a better, even more responsible job.
So you're able to offer career opportunity to 6 formerly homeless vets.
Exactly.
So you were active duty on 9/11. Where were you on that day?
I was the acting commanding officer of the Navy's only boot camp, Recruit Training Command. It's like everyone else, it's a day I'll never forget. My commanding officer was at the Pentagon that day. So I remember I was having a staff meeting, and Lieutenant Gorelnik walked in and said, "Ma'am." And he says, you know, when he said planes ran into the towers, I was like, no. You know, and none of us believed it. But that week, we shut everything down. And thankfully, we're able to get a hold of the commanding officer. He was at a part of the Pentagon that was not hit. But nonetheless, he couldn't get back. And the admiral, the previous admiral that we worked for, had literally on Friday just been relieved. And the new admiral came in, and his wife was a flight attendant who had just put her hand on the door of one of the World Trade Center buildings and told him she was going to her meeting. So he was in no place. Right. You know, so that week, with everything that was going on and with him and being driven by the commanding officer's driver, I just remembered that he complimented me for being calm. And I'm like, mm-hmm. we ought to be calm. But the challenge we had was we had graduation that week, and we have thousands of parents and guests who come to see the brand new sailors.
Sure, they're very proud of those brand new sailors.
But we were still at DEF CON, whatever, you know, very, very high security, nobody's coming in. But I'm glad the admiral made a decision. We got to let the families come in. They've come from everywhere. So it was, I said, I'm still getting goosebumps, a very special graduation. And it just highlighted the service that continues and how our nation's military and those who care deeply about their country came together. And we got through that week, you know. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness the admiral's wife was fine. She made it back. CO makes it back. We were all fine. But your question, it is a week I will never forget. You know, if you have the time for one more story, I couldn't really get out, but there was a place nearby, a nice little family operated fruits and vegetables and flowers. And on Thursday, I had gotten out to just get away and go see her and buy some flowers. And I told her the next day we were going to have a memorial service. So she gave me a whole bunch of red gladiolas that we put on the altar and had a memorial service on that Friday. So that those personal stories of everyone coming together, you know, it's sad that it took a tragedy like that, but you ask the question and say, yeah, that was a pretty dramatic week. Thank you very much.
You have it right to those goosebumps.
Yes, thank you.
What does it mean when someone tells you thank you for your service?
I say you're welcome. You know, I understand why they do that. You know, just last night I was talking to a person who learned what my new responsibilities are, and I said, "Well, are you a veteran?" And you know, because he's about my age, or I'll just say he's about my age. No. And I said, "Did you protest?" And he said, "Yes, I did." And I said, "I respect you. You made a choice." And it was actually at a presentation last night, and two ambassadors, one from Estonia and former Yugoslavia, mm-hmm. were there, and another person that's worked at the Pentagon for decades. You know, so to hear them talk about democracy, the two Eastern European countries, and then to have this person who's been at the Pentagon for 3 decades, somebody asked about Americans who are ignorant of Europe, and thankfully the response was, you got to vote. You know, so if you don't like America's involvement in some of these foreign involvements that we have, you need to be letting your elected officials know and be a part of electing them. Go and vote. I was so glad that they emphasized that. So what's as important as being engaged? And, you know, that's why I'm here today. It's because I strongly believe in continuing to be engaged. And I think we started with the question with the governor, and I said, you know, I want to be on your team because I want to make that difference at WDVA.
What's the mission of DVA? You've been on the job for a month,
so you've
had a chance to think about some of these 10,000 feet.
Yeah, and the 10,000 feet is that I am now, as the governor's appointee, waiting for Senate confirmation, but I am the state's advocate for over 350,000 veterans and their families.
000.
Exactly. Maybe more than 360,000. Again, you know, obviously a number
than,
that changes.
I think it's about 1 in 10 of every Wisconsin resident.
Probably less. Yeah. You know, so that is...
When you factor in adults, it is much less.
Correct.
Excuse me.
But that is my primary focus. So that's everyone. Budget-wise, and I definitely had this conversation with the governor, and I'm having the conversation with every senator I meet as I'm preparing for the confirmation process, that the way that revenues and expenses have been used and allocated, or however you want to look at taxpayer dollars that are one way or another coming into WDVA or mm-hmm. going out. So... there have been programs in the past that have been major sources of revenue.
Yes.
Some of those no longer exist. The homes have been a place that generated a lot of money, literally millions. And the legislature has been generous for definitely over the last 10 years of providing more income for WDVA. So that's where we're at, and that's what I say, and I have the spreadsheet with the senators to say, we can't keep going the way we're going. Either we do need more GPR, yeah. but we can't be depending on the homes. The challenge I have at the homes is the uniqueness of each three.
Yes.
Chippewa Falls has a waiting list of over 200 people.
It does.
Over 200 people in Chippewa Falls. Chippewa Falls near Eau Claire.
Western part of the state, excuse
the
me.
Location near the Twin Cities. It's a good location both for families to be able to see their loved ones at the home and to take advantage of actually the employee pool, a greater employee pool
yes.
at that area than, for example, King. So King is this
rural part of Wisconsin.
Rural part.
Senator Olson, who represents the area, said.
And I haven't met with him yet, but I'm looking forward to meeting with him. Because I've met with him before, but not in this capacity. So for him, he is definitely one I'll be working together with. That, okay, here it is. Lay it out all out. That, here's our income. Here's our expenses. Here's what has been happening in the homes. King specifically. Does not have a waiting list, and decisions were made to, in the recent past, to vacate 150 beds. Well, that's...
Keep them empty.
Okay, right.
Excuse me.
But not make a reduction other places due to the lack of revenue. When you have those beds filled, there's federal dollars, state dollars that come in, Medicaid, Medicare, all these sources that when you cut out 150 beds, you just cut off 150 potential revenue sources.
Sources of income, sure.
Exactly. So that's my challenge.
Has care suffered at King?
I do not believe so. Having seen...
What about the turnover in staff?
Again, I have the statistics.
One of the things in the Capitol is some legislators say
exactly.
It's been a revolving door.
And with being on the cabinet... talking with workforce development, talking with human services, talking with Department of Corrections. We know, and like I said, talking with the senators, we know we have to address this as a state. It's a federal issue
yeah.
that certified nursing assistants are paid very low rates. What we have, and I know other health care providers, the challenge we have is you have a person that can come in and get certified, get their completions, their licensings completed with the state, tolerating less income, and then go and get paid higher in the private sector. So mm-hmm. that challenge we have to make. Having my staff come and say, this is how much you can pay a CNA. You cannot pay them more.
So you cannot?
Nope.
Who says you can't pay them more?
It's our rates.
Okay.
So it's our state rates. So now you know why we need to talk. What's our plan then? How do we retain? And again, it's not just a WDVA challenge. It is a healthcare challenge. Go ahead.
Well, you talked about two of the three homes. What
yeah.
Can you update us
Union
on the
Grove,
third home?
Union Grove
please.
Is, I think, they if they have a waiting list at all, it's not like Union Grove, but they don't have the vacancy challenge as much as King. So Union Grove, I think, is, again, this is just after a month, is in a better place because it does have a larger opportunity mm-hmm. for workforce, but it has the same challenges. And now an additional challenge, if people are, they want to go be a CNA, or do they want to get paid more money working for Foxconn or the businesses that are spinning off from the development in southeast Wisconsin.
Covering the Capitol for a little bit, over the last two or three years, there has been lawmakers who have said there was money moved around.
Exactly. Yep.
And they questioned that.
Yes.
Now, do they have a legitimate concern, Secretary?
That's why I'm enjoying meeting with them, because, yes, the Legislative Fiscal Bureau created a document explaining all that WDVA does. And I'm taking my highlighter and how many of the benefits that Wisconsin offers that mm-hmm. says funded by the Veterans Trust Fund.
Yeah, Veterans
so
Trust Fund.
So it's by design.
I was going to ask.
Yes. You know, by design, we've had...
Is the trust fund in trouble?
It's not yet, because, again, the sources that used to come in there, a loan program mm-hmm. that in the past was very loan programs that were beneficial to have the state of Wisconsin through the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs manage. Well, when the demand kept going down, so that means so is the revenue that would have come. So we ended up completely getting out of it and sold the loans to WIDA. Right. So we're out of that. So, I don't have that revenue source then anymore. Well, here's revenue source. So, again, that's why I'm looking forward to working with the governor's staff, the budget experts. I just was talking to now Revenue Secretary Barca last week, you know, seeing his experience in the legislature and now his revenue. Hey, you know, what ideas may he have? So I am talking to everybody I can that we need to solve this. This structure that was built strongly when it had all these factors.
Yes.
Yeah, but there's change. So what do we need to do?
Well, financially, is right. the agency not yet in crisis, but it could get to crisis? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, for me, it's like, hey, like I said, so again, when to say it to Governor Evers, I'm ready for this challenge. And I, if anything is, sorry to slam my mic, but anything is taken away from this today is WDVA has a terrific workforce. I'm just going to go right there and say, and people will say, oh, it's so top heavy. We're not top heavy. We provide so many services. So there are 60 people here in Madison, but that's not just, you know, name a program. There's multiple programs. So 60 at the central headquarters, over 1,000 that work at the homes. We have the staff that's at the museum. We have 11 veteran outreach recovery program mm-hmm. coordinators that are going around the state to find the veterans and where they are and help them get what they need, whether that's mental health assistance or financial assistance. What is it? Let's help you get the services that you need.
I think it was about maybe two and a half years ago, I interviewed county resource officers.
Yes, thank you.
How important are those links in providing care services to our veterans, Secretary?
You've asked me the perfect question, which I really appreciate in my role as the Secretary of WDVA. So thankfully, even before I got on county board of being a Dane County Supervisor, this is where it's sitting in my district right now, I was on the County Veteran Service Office Commission, so and became the chair of that. So working with the CVSO here in Dane County, that's my background already. And then when I became a Dane County Supervisor, continuing to work on veterans issues. So when I heard about some of the challenges in the past of communicating with CVSOs, I was concerned.
There were proposals statewide to eliminate some of those county resource offices.
So, and I'm also on the board of the Wisconsin Counties Association. So when I understood the fiscal reason, a person would ask, can we regionalize these? But I was a member of the veterans that went to the Capitol and said, we need the CVSOs. This is, you know, if keep you're my CVSO in Dane County, you know me. You are at least,
you're my champion, right?
Yeah, thank you. And yeah. So they are our front line. And what I really appreciate is a staff member at WDVA, Sean, who's our person who liaisons with the tribes. There are 11 tribal veteran service offices. So at a conference of county veteran service offices, he said, 83 strong. You know, so now CVSO is saying 83 strong. 72 CVSOs and 11 TVSOs. So that culture of working together across the state in counties, and we're working together. When I know that it's 50 or 60% of veterans can just call our benefits office and get the information they need. I have a friend who retired in Wisconsin, still a friend from my active duty time, and he said how wonderful the service was that he got from WDVA. For me, I came to Madison and I went over to the county veteran service office and got that quality. So it's great that here in Wisconsin we have the ability, if it's up in Superior and seeing the CVSO up there, or calling Madison, that we have that variety of ways that veterans and their families can get the benefits that they earned.
Is there a demographic profile of a Wisconsin veteran, more male than female, age, or is that not a fair question?
Yeah, the demographics of the military service, you're still going to have predominantly male.
Age range?
That's a really good question. It's coming. The average age would be coming down as we lose the more and more of the World War II and Korean veterans.
Yes.
But there's not as many, I don't think. So I won't quote that. I would just want to emphasize the diversity of a veteran. You know, some look like me. Mm-hmm. Some don't look anything like me. If you look at our front office staff, we have myself, and we have an African-American male. We have another female who's a veteran, our other Army veteran, our lawyer. We have Carla, who's Native American. So this great team that we have, to me, it does represent the diversity of veterans in Wisconsin.
I want to ask you this. There's been a lot of... There's been an emphasis on businesses in Wisconsin employing vets.
Yes.
Are businesses in Wisconsin doing significantly better in employing Wisconsin vets than, pick a window, 5 or 10 years ago?
I would like to think so. I don't have a number that I can cite right now.
But your instincts and your experience tell
you it's
better.
I'm encouraged by the initiatives that veterans are taking to expand those relationships. I don't know if you've heard about the Veterans Chamber of Commerce.
Yes, I interviewed the director.
Saul Newton.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So to see Saul's works, I actually offered him for the appointments that I could make, and he turned me down. And I said, you know what? I am okay with that because I believe he can do more, reaching out to businesses. And that said, I was just at an official luncheon the other day, and this person said something to me and learned who I was, and I somehow Saul came up. And, the conversation just changed dramatically because he's a business owner who's aware of what Saul's trying to do. So that focus, that's Wisconsin. It's not just... are the concentration of population in Milwaukee or Madison. It's throughout the state.
The interaction between the federal Veterans Yes. Administration and your agency,
Yes.
the focus has largely been on the issue of health care.
Yes.
Are you hearing that from Wisconsin veterans?
Yes.
And what are they saying? That the system is a little bit broken, a lot broken? What are you hearing?
And so for me personally, I benefit from the Veterans Administration Hospital services. And so my experience, I can relate to other veterans. And I've also been told I'm lucky because I'm in Madison.
In Madison.
And the culture that William Middleton created at the VA here mm-hmm. in Madison. There are issues to be solved. It's just like my homes. I have no excuses when we have had something that shouldn't have happen. But let's take a look at the whole thing. Let's address this. Let's fix it. But how do we compare with private health care? And that is the same with the Veterans Administration in my mind. Do we have a VA hospital that did an atrocious thing by lying about wait lists? That's atrocious. But does that mean the entire VA system is broken? I don't believe so. I am very pleased with health care I get. But what happened was we had a bad incident happen. And Congress says, we need to fix it. We need to fix it now. Okay. And within 90 days, the Veterans Administration, a huge bureaucracy, had to say, get this fixed in 90 days. Here, it's the CHOICE program. The CHOICE program was, the intention was that rural, more...
If you have to drive more than 30 minutes,
yes.
You have a right
to get
seek
private health care
from a private... Is that a good public policy?
If it worked, it would be an outstanding policy. The first, with CHOICE program, I'm going to the VA regularly every year for the things that I need to go to, and all of a sudden, I'm getting a call, and I got 5 phone calls, and where is this person, and why am I in CHOICE, and why am I not going to the private provider that the VA used to send
Which
me to?
2 miles from here.
And now I'm going somewhere else. And I said, that's not how it's designed. And so in Dane County, I actually... introduced a resolution that was passed and the county executive Parisi signed, encouraging our elected leaders up through to the president to not privatize the VA. Okay, and we gave the examples, and my colleague Dave Ripp, who's one of the conservatives on the board, he told me about the rural, you know, the concern for rural. I said, I'm totally with you, Dave. And he was talking about his friend in Alaska and the challenges. I got it. But now what's happened with the Mission Program, Mission Act, we have veterans who are going out and just Saturday, I was at spoke at a VFW conference, and one of the VFW leaders said that there's too many veterans now, and then I'd also been told it on Friday. So within 2 days, hearing the same tale of veterans who went out and got that private care because they were told they could, the bill goes to the VA, and it's taking too long to get paid, and now the providers after the
private
veteran. Exactly.
Healthcare providers so after the veteran?
Exactly.
As a state secretary, can you have any input in fixing that? That's a federal system.
It's a federal system, but as I said to the VFW, we got to work on this. You know, we DVAs, and yes. I will be going to the National DVA Conference just later this month, and I actually just volunteered to be the vice president for the region, because we have to remain as knowledgeable as possible about state and federal benefits and activities, because it literally, I heard from CVSOs about the Blue Water Navy decision. You know, and the CVSO that wrote to me said, is the federal government prepared to help us help veterans when you made this decision? Right mm-hmm. decision, but the impact. So back to the VAs, we have to continue to advocate. You're asking me that question so that it gets out, that people know, hey, we don't want the VA privatized. We want it fixed, that you should get the health care that you're entitled to. If we, the federal government, say, well, you're going to do it this way, then federal government, you better be there paying the bills for that veteran.
I've heard it said that Wisconsin is one of the leading states for providing benefits to veterans,
yes.
correct?
Yes.
Okay, and that is both in the care side and the tax deferment side and in grants.
When you add all the benefits that Wisconsin has, we are definitely at the top of the states providing benefits, opportunities for veterans.
Okay, and we're almost out of time, so one final question. When we have this conversation 4 years from now and you're finishing your first term, what do you hope to achieve?
That
you would be a successful secretary if
that veterans, and I tell veterans, hold me accountable. That's how I end my remarks. Hold me accountable. And that is that veterans are receiving the benefits that they earned, and most particularly, because we talked about it today, that those homes have a much better reputation and they are fully funded, and everybody knows how our funding works at WDVA.
Boy, are you an enthusiastic
secretary? I love it. I thought you were going to ask me. I'm still going to act like this. God, I hope so.
Mary Kohler, okay. Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Okay.